Rock operas have been around for a while, going all the way back to Hair and Jesus Christ Superstar in the 1960s and continuing through Rent in the late 1990s and even more recently with Spring Awakening. They were reflections of their eras, and that can be said of American Idiot, a recent Broadway hit that's about to be staged at the University of Cincinnati's College Conservatory of Music. Perhaps most like The Who's Tommy, a 1993 Broadway adaptation of a hit rock album from years earlier, American Idiot was derived from a 2004 concept album by the punk rock band Green Day. American Idiot had 400-plus performances on Broadway in 2010 and 2011. This production at CCM is its first locally, and with me to tell us more about it is its director, Aubrey Berg, who chairs the musical theater program at CCM. Welcome, Aubrey.
Thank you, Rick.
I guess we should start off by saying that this certainly isn't Rodgers and Hammerstein.
No, it certainly is not. Although looking for a precedent, I turned to 1944 when a show called On the Town hit Broadway and was certainly not a rock musical, but one of the first musicals that represented a new and young generation of creative artists on a Broadway stage. Of course, the score then was by Lenny Bernstein, with a book by Comden and Green, and the motivating force behind the work was a young man by the name of Jerome Robbins.
Ah, yes.
They were all in their mid-20s, and it was quite a startling achievement.
Well, that then is sort of a spiritual predecessor for this, isn't it?
Indeed, and I think you mentioned a laundry list of rock musicals. I think every generation has a musical that speaks to the young people, and American Idiot is certainly one for the 21st century.
Yeah, well, Green Day, the band that was behind the concept album that this is based on, is a popular, or at least was, a popular punk rock band, and their music's very typical of that genre. It's got fast-paced songs, hard-edged melodies and singing styles, often has a lot of political commentary and anti-establishment lyrics. It's really about rebellion in many ways, and that's a strong undercurrent with this show. Can you talk a little bit about what attracted you to this particular work?
Well, apart from anything else, we are a teaching establishment. And if you look at the titles currently running on Broadway, there is a strong resurgence of rock music on the Broadway scene. So our students have to know not only how to do Gilbert and Sullivan and Rodgers and Hammerstein, Candor and Ebb, but also the rock genre. We haven't done a rock musical since Chess some years ago, so it was time to fill that gap in our educational mission.
How about a quick sketch of the story? It's got three sort of central characters. Can you tell us a little bit about what happens?
Yes. To me, it's rather like one of those Brothers Grimm folk tales where three brothers set off, or three friends set off, to find fame and fortune and return home in the end older and wiser men. Two of the boys head for the big city, where they have various adventures. One of them ships off to Afghanistan and returns wounded to the United States. The third one stays home to look after his girlfriend, who has become pregnant.
They are what you might call wasted youth, at least in the initial scenes of the show.
Yes, I agree. And I think the way that the show is structured, it shows us the disillusion of an entire generation growing up in the shadow of the events of 9/11.
That album by Green Day was a hit about a decade ago in the early 2000s, but it really reflects life in America in the 90s, I believe. You mentioned Afghanistan.
It is. We are actually setting it in 2001 so that we can take full advantage of America in that time period.
Again, the characters here are sort of bored and directionless. They're angry at their insipid lives in suburbia and struggling with where do you go from here. The directions that they go lead to, I guess we could call it, chastening experiences by the time it's over. They've learned lessons at the end. They seem to be more accepting of what life has handed them. But what do you feel is there some underlying message to this show, and what do you think that is?
Well, I think in the stage instructions at the very end of the show, it says that the cast stands on stage looking forward into a post 9/11 future. And I think the creators are suggesting there is hope. You know, thinking back to a period before our current dysfunctional political situation,
yes,
there did seem to be hope coming out of the dark shadows of 9/11. And I think that's what the show does reflect.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how your student actors have responded to this. I mean, this is music, I presume, that they remember at least from late elementary or junior high school, music that they probably heard throughout their young lives.
We had our first orchestra rehearsal, and the string section remarked that these were the songs they danced to at their high school proms. The cast has really had a great time working on this. Of course, we had to start with some research because most of them were 4 or 5 years old when 9/11 happened. So it has been a history lesson as well as a lesson in theater. But they're tremendously enthusiastic about performing this material. You know, the show runs about 90 minutes without an intermission. And I'm exhausted by the end of it, even though I haven't been on my feet dancing. It's very, very vital, very aerobic, in fact.
We should mention it's also very mature, and there are warnings in the promotion for the show. There's drug use and sexual content, and the language is the language that many young people use today. One character in particular becomes very involved with heroin, which wasn't probably such an issue in the news and in the world as it is today. Is that a topic that has been flowing as you've been talking about the show and rehearsing?
That has all been part of our research, trying to get a fix on what was motivating young people in the country a decade ago. To me, it was very similar to working on Hair a couple of decades ago,
yes,
with the same sort of research in play.
Well, it is a show that will certainly stir people's emotions one way or another, I am sure. And it is a very contemporary work, one that I think that audiences will respond to unless they're really coming just thinking, oh, another happy musical.
Well, it's certainly not Oklahoma.
You talked a little bit about the educational value of the show. What do you feel that your students are more specifically learning from this? It is a through-sung show. Steve Goers is your musical director, who I know you've worked with on numerous productions. Are there things that you and he have shared with them that even though they know the music, it's different to know it versus performing it on stage for a presentation to an audience?
You know, I felt the New York production, though I enjoyed it very much, was a sort of a hybrid musical rock concert. And what we have tried to do is really emphasize the storyline. It's certainly not a book musical in the way that Carousel, which we presented earlier this year, is, but we are trying to bring the storyline and the plight of the central characters to the fore. I'm very fortunate to be working with a very young choreographer. She's a member of our senior class. Unusually, she is choreographing a main stage production for us and doing a wonderful job. And I also have a senior as assistant director on this production. And when I turn into an old fuddy-duddy, they nudge me in the ribs and say, let us do this part.
Aubrey, you've been at CCM a long time. I believe you've chaired musical theater there for getting close to 30 years.
Yes.
And I just wonder, is this show radically different from anything else you've staged? I mean, you've mentioned a couple of things that, you know, shows there is some continuity here, but I wonder if you have feelings about that.
It's somewhat unlike what I have done. You know, I have very strong memories of lying on my bedroom floor with my headphones on listening to Hair in 1968.
Yes.
And I sort of try and bring those images to the young people in the cast, maybe with their iPods, lying on their beds doing the same thing.
I have the same memories. I must share with you that. Well, American Idiot opens on Thursday at the University of Cincinnati's College Conservatory of Music at Patricia Corbett Theater. It's on stage through March 13th, a slightly longer run than many CCM theatrical productions, so you do have a little more time to see it. For more information, you can follow the link that you'll find at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I've been talking with Aubrey Berg, chairman of the musical theater at CCM and the director of this production of American Idiot. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Rick.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.